may not be. Baruch asks, what's the difference in Klal Prat and Chelek and Koil? So Klal Prat means that every single Prat has Be'etzim, has the Klal in it. Lamashal. Let's say I have, the best example of Klal Prat would be, I have a master key for a building. So every single lock is a very specific lock. They all have one common pin that if you put it down, that'll open it out. And the master one has that one. Now, Chelek and Kol would be something along the lines of, in the lock itself, you have the handle, you have the tongue. Yeah. In other words, different pieces, they're not coming out of one branch, but they're contributing together to make something. That would be probably the... Okay. Vihini, I think, holding the second page over here. Kefima de gosoi, ken yufchad boi avchones, asher kefi tivoi mitztachos ashamos haskotsi unyari. As soon as we identify something as to what it is, what it's part of, and so on, what it is, then we now are able to ask the questions to complete the picture. Im cheliku, yivakish adas hakol shu chelik menu. So let's say I'll tell you that learning is the most important form of Avodas Hashem. Great. Well, what is Avodas Hashem? What are the other elements that go into Avodas Hashem? And then where is learning the most important? I need to be able to make a statement. When I make a statement like that, in order to make it sensible, I need to explain what's the whole picture about. If you tell me this phenomena is a bad phenomena, okay, where did it come from? And vice versa. If let's say I say that this is going to cause, this is not a good thing, it's going to bring bad results, what are those results? How exactly are they connected to it? If something is really not the essence of something else, he'll ask, what is the essence? There are different ways in which you can have a side piece come along with it. In other words, for instance, if I say that, yeshiva bachim all shave, is the pshat because they must be old enough to get in at a certain age, or is the beard itself a requirement, or lack thereof, or whatever it is, and what happens if you don't shave it, but you have it? Is it just the ability to shave, or is it the shaving? In other words, any type of information that we have, giving us a question of exactly, are you talking about the etzem thing or not etzem thing, is going to be a very, very important piece in understanding the whole picture. In the koach, in the fall, all of these criteria are very important to be able to understand the whole picture. I want to digress a minute. This is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim makes a big point about this, that without understanding these criteria logic, he doesn't use these, but he's talking about this, it's impossible to understand something deeper. And I want to... I want to put it in the context of what we learn in yeshivas, what we call a lamdas. Lamdas means, the derech halimud of lamdas means that it used to be everything was kashas and terutzim and pshatim. To be able to tell yourself what is the etzem shtar, what is a shtar, what are the elements that are necessary for a shtar, what are the elements that came in to being but are not necessary, and what is the relationship between the fact that this came onto a shtar later and it's added onto it, what halacha does it have? Those are fundamental questions. If a person can't think logically, then a person doesn't have the ability to really put things into its place. So everything, information, kashas, terutzim, etc. That's why Rav Chaim's derech was, the old pilpul before Rav Chaim was a lot of kashas, a lot of terutzim, a lot of rayas, back and forth, slugging up as there. Rav Chaim says, well, let's go to the etzem halacha and let's consider it again. are we kind of glossing over something in the definition of halacha? And if we go back to it again, and we're able to understand more crisply what the halacha is, a lot of these questions don't start. So instead of saying, well, I have a kasha, so I'll answer this kasha because that case is different, that case is an exception, that case is that. And you end up with a lot of kashas, a lot of terutzim. Reb Chaim's approach was, go to the heart of the inyan and redefine it properly, and then you'll see that the questions are not really shver on it. He says, the Valkol Yisbeinen Alteva inyan ladasim u'muchlot u'mukbol. Is this absolute, or is this something that has conditions? Imu mukbol yakol vulav. What are its parameters? Ki ulam kol inyan amiti yoshev koizev imi yuchas aloisibol tohagin loy relaksha bigvulay. Everything, even if it's true, if you're going to attribute it wrongly, it will be wrong. Let's take another example. The Chaznish was very, very annoyed with people that said drashas of Chazal, drashas based on one Chazal, or two Chazal, in an absolute way. Ramchal himself writes, Ramchal has a beer in our goddess, and he says the most important thing to understand is, when it says Chazal, if somebody gets angry, it's like it's over Avodah Zarah. So sometimes, well, Chazal said it, so it's absolute, and that's what it has to be, and so on and so forth. Okay, using that logic, would you give him skila for being over Avodah Zarah? Would you tell somebody that Yorei Vayavar? Would you tell somebody or everything else together for Avodah Zarah? You know, if somebody in this house, he gets angry all the time, and has a different base of Avodah Zarah, you can't go into it? I mean, this is absurd. It'll lead you to absurdity. So we have to understand in what aspect did Chazal say that. Let's define which particular aspect. In this aspect of the loss of self-control, the thinking that you are in control, however you want to explain it. But a lot of times, you know, Chazal's, somebody told me this, and it was very annoying. This person is a simple person, he's for me, very, very elevated. And somebody said something when I quoted an Agadita, and he said, Chazal didn't lie. So you can't argue. Now, because he understands this Chazal as being absolute all the time, and so on, then anything different would mean Chazal lying. But that's certainly not true. That's not how he learned that Chazal. He's learning upshot wrong, because it'll lead to absurdities without limit. So obviously, and that's what Ramchal says when he gives the Maimon HaGadis. He says there are no real machlokes in Agadita. Everybody speaks in a different bechina, meaning everybody has a different definition of it. Everyone has a different limit to it, and that's where Chazal, and that's how we understand it. So in the Gemara, what happens is, Lamashal, we have two sugis that seem to contradict each other. So Taisus can say that this goes like two different shitas. Mark can say that. Or sometimes we say this is talking about this case, it's about this case. This is talking about only this circumstance, it's talking about this circumstance. So Taisus does it for us. In our goddess, we don't have that type of rishon. So we have to try to figure it out. The omnam. In Tzorosh, it is boinin she'ine misa protim otzim oid mehochle sam sechel hodam. The amount of details there are is impossible for a human mind to grasp it. Ulam, masheroyoloi, sheishtadlo, gridias klolim. So if a person knows the klolim, that way he knows the pratim automatically. Whenever a prat becomes relevant, he'll say, okay, what's the klal? And this is why Lashon Halacha, learning the Mechaber himself is a problem, because Mechaber is details, basically, whereas the Sugya, or the bigger picture. So, you know, it's a trade-off, obviously. If you learn the bigger picture, you don't get any of the details. But understanding that it's so much easier when you understand the klal instead of understanding pratim, that's going to be a big key for knowing a lot. Having one klal means you have many pratim. And this is why you find in the Gemara, what the Gemara will say on the Mishnah, that, you know, when it says, the Gemara will say, If there are only three details, then repeating a klal is not necessary. If the Mishnah adds a klal, as if the Mishnah is saying, and for those other halachas, remember this klal. So it's by definition almost that when you're adding a klal to limit it. So if a person tells somebody else, listen, I want you to get me, I don't know, tomatoes and cucumbers and onions. So that's not so hard to remember. I mean, your mind is really cold, kolish, or kohen Torah, but other than that, it shouldn't be so different. Then you tell the person, anything, any vegetable that will go into a salad, I need. So obviously, I'm putting a klal down to add things. And therefore, when the Mishnah says it, that's why the Gemara Chadash is the Prat and Klal. There's a meaning to why the Torah said it that way. So understanding and knowing it's a Sefri. The Sefri says a person should always make his Torah klalim. So Sefri in the beginning of Hazinu. And so when a person learns a sugya, he should try to ask himself, what is the klal that I have from this sugya? We're learning now and the Pesha of Edus and so on. What's the big picture? What's the klal that comes out of sugya? So that if another case came up, I would be able to apply it. That's what learning is about. So he says, "Ki kol klal betivoy kol patim harbe, ukashi yasik kol echod nimtza masi melo misar mepratim." And when a person is able to know one klal, he knows a lot of pratim in it. Va'af bishle hifchen bo madayim lehike yisa pratek klal ahu. So since a person knows the klal, anytime a prat will come lemaisa, he automatically knows about the prat. Person should always make divrei Torah klal and not pratim. So let's say you learn a sugya. So like the sugya we're learning in that. So a person can sum up what it says. Adam say this, if he says this. What's the klal? What is this halacha based on? Something about peshasa, something about kim shehigid, something about kim shtaris. How would you explain this halacha in a way that is bigger than the cases that we just gave? And that's really a key to using your mind and learning. That's really lamdas. Lamdas is understanding what is the klal the Gemara is saying. Ach, ma sheitztorek b'diyas haklolim, hu adas eisom b'chol b'leim chineseim. So, what's important about a klal is to know exactly the klal. In other words, a rule of the thumb is helpful on day-to-day activities. It would be a churban in terms of Yiddishkeit. So you want to understand when and where this klal is effective. And therefore, putting a lot of effort into defining the klal very carefully is very important. So shatishma oisam v'tashalam libcha v'loitia levuz kosh am chazal. So a person needs to think about the different cases that could arise and define the klal as well as possible, even if he thinks at this moment that this particular aspect of the klal doesn't have much to offer in terms of result. Once you're dealing on a klal level, there's nothing at the klal level that won't affect you at the prat level. So even if I don't know, but since I'm dealing with, so it's just like in the laws of nature, physics. If I come up with a rule, then I have to be very sure that I define it properly, because there'll be some sort of formula that will work very well, except for once it passes the speed, this and this speed, then so I need to be clear. I will define it, keep defining it, and saying this rule is correct from this speed to this speed, from this wavelength to that wavelength, because if I make any mistake in the klal, then it will inevitably create the wrong product. So it was, and that's why his a sefer like this of his. It's very interesting. Ramchal wrote a sefer that is a beginner's guide to Kabbalah. He wrote many like that, but one particular one is called Kalach Tisrei Chochma. Kalach has 138 rules, or I don't know what to call them, your klalim. He wrote the sefer in two layers. He wrote the 138 Pisrei Chochma. Those 138 are very succinct, like Mishnayos, like just a paragraph. And then he wrote a Pirush on himself around it, which is tremendously detailed. And it did it. So I don't even know if you're right. I mean, it's as if the Kalach Pisrei Chochma was an old sefer that he found and he wrote around it. To the best of my understanding, it was not like that. He wrote both, but he felt, I need to be able to put it as klolim and pratim. There were too many pratim just to give it as Torah itself, because people just be overwhelmed with information. So let me show you the picture. Klal. But then there are a lot of things, these klolim are not as simple as they look. Let me go through all the details of it. And I think that's what I would try to do. Alkein tzor shtag vizim ma'oyde tisbein al yona v'yachsein v'kishem divagodl v'sifchen yofi yofi. Look at exactly how these klolim begin to formulate pratim. Okay, we'll hold it here. So after Shabbos, we'll